Commander Codger. I travel here and there, do not stay overlong in any place. That is my way. But there are things I do to keep myself in eating, Jack. Oh, so many different things I do.
Yeah?
I trade in hair.
Human hair?
Ace on the line, Dix. The hair of humans.
What do you do with it?
Straub smiled and stared at Ryan, who found himself avoiding the dark silver eyes.
It is one of the immutable truths in this blighted world of Deathlands, Outlander Codder, that there's always a market for everything.
Sure, that's what our friend Trader always says. All you need to do is bring buyer and seller together. The result is happiness and mutual profit.
Straub nudged Schnickel in the ribs.
I like these Outlanders and their sayings.
Schnickel rubbed the spot where Straub had poked him.
And the blasters!
You got another name, Straub?
No. I came grinning with a fine full set of sharp teeth from my mother's womb. Damn the foul living slut. Called Straub. No first name. Or should that be no second name? Who knows? What's first is last, and sometimes the last shall be first. So it says in the good book.
So who do you sell all of this hair to, Straub?
Not all that much hair. I sell only the finest and rarest to the old wives of rich barons who have it spun into wigs that chase away the years for them. It is costly. But these people can well afford the cost.
There's a market for hair? Then who sells it to you, Straub?
The poor, of course. Oh, don't misunderstand. I pay a fair price to them. But I only want, as I said, the best. Most poor folk have dull, lifeless, ordinary hair.
And that's why you're fascinated with Christy and Jack's hair? Just what do you want with them? You want to buy their hair?
Straub licked his lips.
I would pay any price for their tresses. I am Jack Wealthy and know that I could obtain anything I wanted for a wig of fire or a wig of snow.
Ryan stood up from the table, followed instantly by JB.
Wasted both our times. There's no way this would ever happen. Never.
Never say never, Outlander Codder.
You try to take hair from anyone, and you'll find yourself knee-deep in your own blood.
Schnickel shot to his feet.
You threaten me here in my own camp? With 3 dozen armed men just a shout away?
Ryan shook his head, fighting for his own self-control, feeling the crimson mist clouding his vision. He struggled against it, knowing that anger was weakness.
No, Schnickel. The threat comes from you, and from Straub.
What threat?
The man's pale hands spread, the picture of injured innocence.
I said that I would pay a fair price in Jack or trade if I could purchase the hair of 2 of your company. You've made it clear this can't happen. How can there be any threat from us, Codger?
Well, you...
Ryan placed a hand on JB's forearm.
No, this is pointless. Nobody wants blood. Schnickel, we are grateful for your hospitality and the food and the beds for the night.
All right.
The war chief made no attempt to brighten his surly scowl.
All right.
Straub finally got to his feet, brushing some imaginary specks of dust from his black shirt.
One more small thing. Baron Wayman, Schnickel here's told you about our plans to take over the Ville.
Yeah?
You have eaten our food and taken our hospitality. In return, we'd like you to help us. You're well armed, and it's kind of obvious you all know how to use your blasters. Use them for us, and you'll not be sorry.
Meaning we'll be sorry if we don't help?
JB eased the sling on the big Smith & Wesson scattergun across his shoulders.
For us or against us? No road runs down the middle.
Ryan glanced at JB, but it was impossible to judge the armorer's reaction. His eyes were invisible behind the dark lenses of his spectacles.
Well, our plans are not quite ready for us to move against Wayman, but it won't be long.
You got to be with us! Now you know what we intend!
Straub turned and looked at the war chief, staring for a long time, until the purple faded from the chief's temples and cheeks.
That's better, friend. Rage makes enemies of friends, doesn't it? And none of us want that.
They could go tell the Baron.
They won't do that, will you, Codder? Because they're honorable men, Schnickel. I understand that, even if you don't.
Straub lifted his eyes toward the two outlanders.
Sit, Schnickel.
Oh.
The war chief sat heavily, like a dumped sack of grain. He looked to be in a stupor, and Ryan recalled Christie's suspicion that Straub might be some kind of hypnotist.
We're going to bed now.
Ryan turned away, followed by JB.
Sleep well and safe. You have my word of honor that not a hair of your heads will be harmed.
When they were a safe distance away, JB could hardly contain himself.
Honor. You know where he can put his honor.
Mildred and Christie were already under the piles of fur and rags that passed for blankets. Neither had got undressed at all. Ryan and JB soon joined them.
The others sleeping clothed?
Yes. Jack insisted. Doc wanted to at least pull off his boots, but Jack said we might need to get out fast.
Straub gave us his word of honor that nobody would harm us during the night.
Did he tell you why he's so interested in me and Jack?
He sells human hair to rich bitches for fancy wigs. He said he'd pay a lot for yours and Jack's.
Bald shithead. The son of a bastard probably sold his own hair.
I tell you that there's something especially wrong about Straub. I can't read him at all. We'd do well to leave now.
The armorer was sitting on the makeshift bed beside Mildred.
They're scared of our blasters, Christie. I don't think they dare try anything.
The two women who showed us to these tents were telling us about this Baron, Wayman. They told us that he's a swift and evil man, that it would be better if he was to be overthrown. It sounded a bit self-interested to me.
Of course, they could be telling the truth, Mildred. Could be we'd do well to support them and pick up some free Jack for ourselves. Yeah, could be.
Then again, lover, these muty pigs might fly.
We'll move on after dawn tomorrow. Freeload first food off them. Fireblast. Listen to that drum. Hope that doesn't keep up all night.
How about putting a guard on? Might be safer.
I don't know.
Enough of us here. Enough blasters.
I think you're wrong. Wake up, Ryan. You're dropping off to sleep.
Mildred's already gone. Feel more tired than I'd have thought. Was going to check the Uzi and the scattergun, but I guess I'll just leave them this once.
Christie crawled across the trampled dirt floor and stuck her head out of the flap, seeing no signs of life. It looked like everyone in the settlement had packed it in and gone to bed early. It had become much colder, and she could see her breath misting the darkness in front of her.
Oh, Gaia!
The smoke from the campfires was drifting around, carried on a light, eddying breeze. Christie sniffed at it, tasting pinion. There was also something different, a sharp and sweet scent of herbs. It reminded her of the incense that they'd burned in an ornate golden container at a Catholic church she'd once visited when she was a little girl. She blinked her eyes, feeling them growing heavy.
Well, Doc's well away.
Nobody answered Christie. All three of them were fast asleep. Christie lay down beside Ryan, feeling his body move a little as she eased herself close to him for comfort. The last thing she saw as she drifted into the warm, waiting blackness was the strange, dark and silver eyes of the man who called himself Straub. As he got older, Doc had become increasingly aware of niggling problems stemming from what his mother would have called the waterworks. When he took a leak, it no longer gushed out in a proud, forceful stream. Nowadays, it tended to be more of a forked dribble, and he would find himself standing there behind a tree for what seemed like hours on end, waiting to finish. The other aspect of the problem came to Doc in the still of the night. In his youth, it generally happened that he was able to go all the way through the night without needing to take a single piss. Now it wasn't that unusual for him to have to get up three or even four times. He opened his eyes, rubbing at them, aware of the now familiar pressure on his bladder.
Oh, by the three Kennedys, is there no respite?
For a few heartbeats he lay still, wondering whether the gods might be kind to him and allow him to slip back into sleep. but it was a waste of time. His body